So that's been in the works with us for probably 4 years in the making, and we've traveled all over the country to sell that concept, and it's actually going to be coming to be fruition. It's going to be real, and he'll give you a whole rundown on that. So right now, what VMDC has done, you've heard it before, is we're involved in a pilot with mobile phones, and as opposed to some of the other, why don't you turn to the next page? As opposed to some of the other thoughts and ideas, one of the things that we saw right off the bat that we had a need for is to get rid of the sleds that would that cause us to have to be able to encrypt and so on. And so as a result of that, you can see, I've got one hanging, what a clunky piece of equipment that really is. And we're still using that right now so that we can encrypt our emails and so on. So we decided that's not going to work. Everybody's tried it. It's really clunky. It actually physically does work, but nobody's using it because it's too clunky. So let's go to the next slide. So you can see the game plan here. We kind of teamed up with DISA, and there were several different approaches that were thought about. And our approach, pragmatically, is the most simple of all. And it is to take a common access card and just lay it next to a mobile phone, Android 3 as you'll see, and actually sign and encrypt emails using the credentials off the phone. Now, the difference that this is from everything else that's been talked about is this is not having to deal with a derived credential, because it's actually just getting the credential and passing it through the phone to generate your signed and encrypted emails. So from the standpoint of having to deal with all those issues that were just talked about, you kind of can bypass most of that and maybe actually get something going. Now, it's kind of clunky again, but not as clunky as this. And in the pilot, they've actually created a little sleeve that you can stick the card in the back so you don't have to hold it there to do that. But I think it's a great advantage, at least to kick this stuff off, to have a methodology where you don't have to deal with SD microchips and programmable SIMs and everything else and get all of the information all lined up across telecoms and everything else in order to do that. We didn't need that type of effort in order to try to get this off the ground. So you can see we wanted to conduct the pilot of proof of concept in 2014. Everybody wanted to select viable solutions, outline implementation challenges and risks, and then discussion DoD-wide. So let's go to the next one. So you can kind of see how the sleeve fits onto the phone. It's pretty slim and not real heavy, and that's how the CAC would slip in, if you will, to the sleeve, so you just weren't messing with it, trying to hold it. Okay. And as you can see, we're using NFC, near field communication, to actually make that connection, that interface. And for the first part of this, let's flip to the next slide. Let's see. You can see, place a card on the phone. Other business needs, as you can see there, are to enable secure contactless transactions, and you'll see when Greg starts to talk about his, transit is the top of the list right now for one of our next adventures. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, so in part one, you can see we enabled the phones, communicate NFC, we just extract the CHUIT via the contactless interface, sign and encrypt. Now what we didn't do in there is there's no security across that yet. So we didn't include the security, so it's just a wide open contactless transaction. That was just to figure out whether we could actually do it or not. And go to the next one. We actually succeeded in doing that. And so there's a picture of the part one architecture, not too complicated. And you can see that we've been working with the Android folks, And we've been working to try to make sure that as we get through this discussion, that the timings were more than correct to be able to do it. And to start off with, we found out that the communication between the card and the phone timings weren't sufficient in order for it to energize the phone, and we kept dropping the transaction all the time. And you'll see why in a minute. So let's go to the next one. Lessons learned. What was happening, of course, is that one of the things that you'll see going forward in this is that in order to power up and do your crypto self-checks on the phone, it probably takes 700 milliseconds to do that. And that was at least 200 or 300 milliseconds longer than it timed out before it could ever connect. So one of the things that we did immediately is turn that off to see, okay, is that going to help? Well, it's going to help, but over the long haul, it won't work unless we do something else to shorten that kind of feature that we've got right now for crypto self-check at PowerUp. So as we go forward, you'll see some of the other things that we're recommending to do, and that's going to be necessary not only for this pilot as we get through this, but it's going to be critical when we start doing transactions in transit, which Greg will talk about is maximum limit is 300 milliseconds to do the whole transaction, which is lightning speed from where we are right now. And there are a lot of things we can do about that, but that's not done yet. And so you can see, we need to secure the communication channel between the card and the device. So in order to do that, we're going to use a part of ANSI 504, opacity part. ANSI 504 is the standard by which opacity has been built into it. And that standard is, it has been published once with a fair amount of things that we have figured out aren't quite right with it. And in the V10.12, we met this morning again. We're fixing those. At the same time,
are you chair of that group?
I'm chair of it, yeah. And Peyton Mita, Sal, Franco Macaro, and Michelle Escalante, we were all together this morning. Who else?
Christoph.
Oh, yeah, there he is. Christoph's in it too. He just came right over here. So that's the core people that are here, and then we have other people from the West Coast who dial in as well. And we probably have 9 or 10 actual members, corporate members or agency members in the B10.12. Its assignment is to, in fact, finish the document ANSI 504, parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, and to normalize those with 873-4, so that we come together as an organ, as a unit, without everybody having to go, well, I'm building the 504, and NIST is saying, well, you got to build the 873-4, and what's the difference? That's going to be tough for everybody to figure out. So our game plan is to normalize that, and you'll see that in a minute. Okay, go to the next. So finishing lessons learned. No, go ahead. That's fine. And proof of concept 2 now is to get some test cards, actually using the S3 mobile phones. S/MIME client, which you all know about. Secure communications between the phone, ZKM, opacity ZKM. And that ZKM feature is a Diffie-Hellman feature, and 56A takes a look at the cryptography, and it's been pretty much followed as 56A specifies. But in addition to that, we've had NSA take a look at it. NIST has had NSA take a look at it. There were some things that weren't quite as they would like them, so everybody's tweaking that if they have to. And the bottom line is that we're very close now, at least with the first feature of opacity, which is ZKM, that once we normalize it between ourselves, the federal government, and the rest of us in NIST, as well as those folks of us that are working with it with the ANSI 504 community, ANSI community, when we normalize that, we're going to be on the right path. So we're also looking to figure out how to test it. And so part three of ANSI 504 is a testing suite, a fairly significant one, that will be developed as soon as, in fact, most of it's developed, but as soon as we normalize what parts one and two for the standard. So that's not very far away right now. The actual parts one and two for the amendments will probably be submitted in a couple of months. Most of those amendments, we think, at least will pass through the ANSI board. So as those final amendments get submitted, we're going to open those up so everybody knows what's been submitted. And it's my feeling that you actually can start building most of the design work to ANSI 504, including those amendments. So that's pretty close. Let's go to the next one. That's sort of what part two is to look like in terms of its pictorial depiction of where things would lay on the card. Go ahead. So our vision, when we first took a look at this and said, okay, we want to work with FIPS 140-3. I think all of us have wanted to work with FIPS 140-3 for the last 5 years. And it's still in draft form. What we have done is talk to the 140 people, and they are willing to at least take a look at selective crypto checking, depending on the application. So we're in the process of building a couple of scenarios for them to look at and to perhaps approve for us. That would help us significantly in only crypto checking the crypto that's needed for the application that we're using, and significantly reduce the startup time. So that's one of the key factors. Let's see what else we got here. The mobile device hardware, we're supporting NFC. Software, out-of-the-box SMIME, out-of-the-box PKI, out-of-the-box native OS certificate management store, native OS ANSI 504-1. So when we start our pilot right now, we're going to have an applet that isn't the final applet. It's because we don't want to wait that long. So it's going to have some pieces, parts in it that were developed before we've started the amendment process for 504. But for the most part, it's going to at least prove conceptually that we can do that. And go ahead, go to the next one. Yeah. So that's kind of the future view of what we think it could look like, not near term yet, but in the future, that's a design that could occur. Go ahead. Okay, so get to the next one. Yeah, bring that next one up.
So this is all we've got.
Yeah, remember the other one that I...
All right.
Yeah. So what I want to talk about now is how long this has taken. And I think you've seen this slide before. Mr. Butler actually had this built. And I brought this back up again because what happened is that this line got a lot longer. And that's not uncommon for all of us to have that happen. But that line, we're into 2014 now, and that line, for all practical purposes from our standpoint, means that within a couple of months, we're going to want to get really deep into making sure that this pilot gets off the ground. So as you can see, I haven't got 2015 on there, but you can also see how long it's taken for ANSI 504. We started that back in 2010. So in the ANSI world or the ISO world, that's kind of the norm. And what we're trying to do now is speed this up substantially to bring something to the table. So that's really what we've been trying to do. And I put this piece on here because I asked HID to build me a reader, a PAX reader, that had opacity on it. And it actually has opacity ZPM with another feature called persistent binding. And that's to remember who you were the first time so that the next time it can speed up the transactions. And that feature, however it hasn't been reviewed by NSA yet, is going to be critical to Mr. Garback's needs, because that's again the first time the card is seen in the system. It's going to take a little longer. From that point on, it's going to remember that card. And if it's centrally stored, you can go in any terminal across the whole gambit of entering the metro, and it'll know that you've been there before on the persistent binding piece. Again, NSA has not reviewed that piece yet. But that's basically what we're talking about in terms of how this can evolve at this point going forward. So out of the pilot, what we're going to prove is there's a way, out of our pilot, there's a way to get this off the ground right now and for people to actually use that approach, as opposed to trying to negotiate with the telecoms and trying to deal with an SD micro card of sorts, or have the technology actually installed in the phone itself, in the hardware, and built specifically with that. We feel like that might be the way to go of the future, but there's a transition point at which we want to get to right now, and that's what this is. So I think that's the end of it. So with that, Mr. Garback's going to talk about...
Could you hold one sec, Bob? Tom,
yeah.
Can I?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So in my humble opinion, I see the use of mobile devices defined in my category as a phone, some type of tablet and whatnot. I see that use growing exponentially inside federal agencies. I won't talk about federal agencies.
And
I will talk
for him,
more about
yeah.
DOD.
Yeah.
Mean, so the question now becomes, well, if the car doesn't interface, I mean, what we heard today is right now we don't have all the nuggets put in place to have the car interface, the PIV or the CAC interface with this mobile device. But if federal employees are using this, unless we move this forward, to Mike Butler's pragmatic approach.
Right.
What are we faced with when it comes to the use of these federal, these devices on inside federal networks?
Well,
I mean, is it 5 years away? Is it 3 years away? Or is there something we can do within the next 12 months?
This, our approach...
Does it make any sense to you?
Yeah, our approach is as far as we're going to take it, is like a transition approach to actually building it into the phones. VISA may decide that in their view that they're going to have to issue their own government phones, and they're going to have their own MDM, and they're going to have to manage those credentials within the phone itself as opposed to BYOD. And that seems to be a notion that's floating around pretty substantially right now. I'm not sure I like that thought, but because we're duplicating effort, I think, in a lot of cases, but there's also the security risk of trying to figure out how to nail down and lock down all this stuff when you don't control it necessarily.
Okay.
And so that's the conundrum that we're facing right now. But the way we've got it set up here, you don't have to do any of that. You just lay the card next to it and actually for signed and encrypted emails. To do that, it works perfectly.
So you're able to find a way to
at least
use
bridge
now, do something in the bridge.
That's correct.
So that those in DOD can find a way to do everyday work using a mobile device.
Yeah.
Which to me is the critical piece. Do everyday work using a mobile device.
Now, like I said, the other stuff takes a whole lot more coordination with multiple players in multiple industries who don't always have the same goals and objectives as we do.
Greg, I'm sorry.
It's quite all right.
Yeah.
Any more questions at all? For sure. Yes, Sal.
So Bob, how about you from an operating system perspective? We've run into some issues lately in development where, as an example, on the Android platform, you got to be on 4.4 and do some new expanding things. How about in your case? Is there anything here that is operating system dependent?
It's with the Android 3 phone.
But it was a Samsung 3, but what operating system?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, I don't know. Jonathan Hsu would know that. I don't know that.
Right.